You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Unless the Lord builds his house, the builders build in vain. God is the builder of us. And it strikes me as we worship that God builds something in us through his word. That God speaks something into being. He speaks reality into being. And I believe that the Lord has a word for us this morning. Whether that's something you've experienced in worship or through the word or in our fellowship, that God wants to speak life into you this morning through his word. And let us not forget that his word became flesh in the person of Jesus. And it's through him that we find life. A number of years ago, the Associated Press, they published a news story about a church in Russia that disappeared. Yes, a disappearing church. The building hadn't been used in a number of years, and when the church officials went to check on the structure, they reported that it was missing. Imagine that, a disappearing church. The article states that the building was last seen in July of 2008, but when officials went there in early October, a few months later, the church was gone. An investigation into the case of the disappearing church, it uncovered that some of the villagers had been dismantling the building brick by brick and then selling each brick to a local builder for about 4 cents apiece. Brilliant entrepreneurs. Over the span of 2 months, the monument had been sold off and its parts were scattered throughout the city in a building here and a brick wall there. And when the article came out, some commentators, they lamented the disappearing church was a sign of the times. The story, they suggested, represented the tragedy of Christianity's decline. The church as an outdated relic, a dying institution. But when I read the story, I saw something completely different. I saw in it a compelling vision for the church, a renewed vision for the church, for us, God's church, planted here in the place we call home, the city of Kelowna. But I'll return to the disappearing church a little later. Today, we turn back to our sermon series in the book of Acts, and we've been calling it On the Move. On the Move, because the book of Acts is all about the Holy Spirit who is on the move. God is on the move through his Spirit in the world as he empowers his church, those who follow Jesus. And this morning, we come to the story of the church in a city called Antioch. And so I invite you to turn with me to Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 19, halfway through chapter 11. It's on page 767 of the Bible in front of you, Acts chapter 11, verses 19, and I will read all the way to verse 26. Hear the word of the Lord. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man,
full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask that you would continue to speak to our hearts through your word, through your living presence. Encounter us through the word, confront us through your word, build us up through your word. We are your people. Our ears are open. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, notice what led to the establishment of the church in Antioch. It's in verse 19. It says, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch," the city of our focus this morning. This community of faith was born out of tragedy. Acts chapter 7 and 8, earlier in the book, they tell the story. Stephen was martyred in Jerusalem. And after his death, this great persecution swept over the city against the followers of Jesus. And these followers of Jesus then were scattered throughout the Roman world for fear of being persecuted themselves because of their allegiance to Jesus. Scattered. It is the key word in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And it is the same word that is picked up here in Acts chapter 11, verse 19, scattered. The church in Antioch was born out of the scattered church from Jerusalem. We shouldn't miss this detail, this great fact. The persecution that the early church experienced was one of the reasons the gospel spread across the Roman world so effectively. Persecution led to the scattering of Jesus' followers beyond Jerusalem and into Judea and Samaria and other cities across the Roman world. And Antioch was the third largest city in the entire Roman Empire at the time. And a church was planted in that city because the church in Jerusalem scattered. What seemed like a major blow to the movement of God in the world became the means through which God's glory filled the world. Go figure. We should never lose sight of this. People among the church, we often lament that Christianity is losing ground in our culture. If a certain political party is elected, some lament. Or if a certain bill is passed, some lament we're losing ground. Dr. Gordon Smith, president of Ambrose University, he was here in September. Do you remember his sermon? He shared the story about a church in Ontario that had to close its doors, and the building then was converted into a mosque. We hear a story like that and we lament. The Christian church is losing ground in our culture. But the story of the church in Antioch, it begs us to look at all of this with fresh eyes of faith. And if you remember, as Dr. Smith told the story about the church turned mosque in Ontario, he recalled that as a young boy when he was growing up, in a church not far from the site of the converted sanctuary, that they would regularly pray for Muslims across the world in his church growing up. He remembered praying along with others in the church that our Muslim friends would come to know Jesus. They prayed as a church for God to break open borders that were closed to the gospel and inaccessible to missionaries. They prayed so that the Muslim people would hear about Jesus' love and rescue. They prayed fervently for these things. And then Dr. Smith suggested we see what was really going on with the eyes of faith. What if this church turned mosque was actually God's answer to a praying church? What if God was breaking through the closed borders of closed Muslim countries by bringing inaccessible Muslims into the country so that we could reach them with the love of Christ? More than that, what if he was planting them down the street so that a praying church would have an opportunity to share the love and rescue of Jesus with them? You see, so often what seems to us like a setback can be the means through which God's glory is manifest in the world. If we have ears to hear and eyes to see and courage to follow Jesus. It's like Joseph ultimately told his brothers. You remember this story? His brothers left Joseph for dead in a pit, and his life goes on. And at the end of Joseph's story, he says to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." The church in Antioch, it was born out of this tragedy, out of this scattering of the Jerusalem church. The kingdom of God was on the move through the scattered people of God. But they didn't say stay scattered, did they? As we read on, the scattered church, it becomes the gathered church. A gathering together of Jew and Gentile alike, gathered around Jesus and his gospel. Verses 20 and 21, as it goes on, they tell us that the church in Antioch began sharing the good news of Jesus to people from all walks of life in the city. And a great number of people believed and turned to Jesus. People who formerly disregarded one another were now finding life and peace and joy with one another. The scattered church became a gathered church, a vibrant, diverse, gathered people of God. And we're told that that news reached Jerusalem. The news of what was happening in Antioch, this scattered then gathered church, it reached Jerusalem. So the Christian leaders in Jerusalem, they send Barnabas to Antioch to check it all out. And when he arrives, he's blown away. And so Barnabas then, he sends for the Apostle Paul, who is called Saul in the text. He sends for the Apostle Paul to join him in teaching this gathered church about following Jesus. You see, the story of the church in Antioch, it revolves around scattering and gathering. The scattered church becomes the means of gathering people around Jesus and his gospel. But their story doesn't end there. It's not simply scattered, then gathered. It moves even further still. The church in Antioch, they must have keyed in on how God was on the move through the world, because the once scattered church that became a gathered church then takes intentional steps to scatter once again. How? They send missionaries out into the world. The church at Antioch becomes the first missionary sending church that we know of in the New Testament church. They embark on the work of scattering people to the corners of the earth with the salvation message of Jesus. It's interesting to note that the Apostle Paul, all three of his major missionary journeys, they either begin or end in the city of Antioch. It was a missions sending church. The beginning of Acts chapter 13, if we move a chapter and a half forward in the story, it makes note of Paul's first missionary journey. Listen, it says, "Now in the church in Antioch," it's speaking of this church. "Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Menean, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, who was Paul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The scattered church that gathered and then scattered. This was the cycle of life, the church in Antioch. Scattered and gathered. Gathered and scattered. I can think of no more compelling story to live from than this. The gathered church and the scattered church. I've spoken to a few people lately that are really struggling to understand how the church fits into their life of following Jesus. They're struggling with real questions about this. They're asking questions like, what's the point of attending a church? What does it really accomplish? Why should I even bother? And I think the picture of the gathered and scattered church helps answer these questions. I really do. So let me walk us a little deeper into this cycle, starting with the gathered church. First, we are a gathered church. Whenever people are following Jesus, we should expect to see a gathered people, a diverse and vibrant gathering of the people of God. People coming together to center their lives on Jesus and his gospel. You see, the gathered church doesn't simply meet on Sunday mornings, though we do. But the gathered church also meets during the week at prayer groups or discipleship groups or fellowship groups or in someone's living room for tea. And the gathered church, it participates in three particular things when we gather. The gathered church encounters Christ, they embody his kingdom, and they equip the saints for service. Let me touch base on all three of these. First, the gathered church encounters Jesus when we gather. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them. Jesus is uniquely present among us by his Spirit wherever we gather in his name. When the songs are sung, or the word is read, or prayed, or preached, when the baptism is performed, when the communion is received, when fellowship is shared in Jesus' name, we encounter Christ together. Whether we recognize it or not, Christ is present among us. We come face to face in these moments with his love, his truth, his forgiveness, his strength, his healing, the empowering presence of his Spirit. The gathered church encounters Jesus when we gather, whenever we gather, even now. Jesus is present among us. Oh, that we would be people who are attentive to his presence. And it's not just that we can never experience Jesus' presence and power when we're on our own. It's not that we can't experience him on our own. It's just that when we gather together as God's people, be it in a worship gathering like this or when two or three people are praying in a living room, our union with Jesus is all the more dynamic. It is all the more real when it is shared among a fellowship of others who are following Jesus. The gathered church, we give human witness to the real presence of Christ among us. Imagine a wedding. Imagine a wedding where there were no participants other than the bride and the groom. No one to share in their joy of the wedding day. No one to witness and affirm the sacred union of their lives. The union might be legitimate, but something powerful, something real, would be missing. A common joy. An affirming witness, a shared encounter. The gathered church functions this way. Our union with Jesus is far more dynamic, far more real when it is shared with the fellowship of a gathered church. The gathered church encounters Jesus when we gather. And second, the gathered church embodies the kingdom of God when we gather. We put flesh to the way of Jesus. We become a living witness to his kingdom way of life. The gathered church comes together to practice forgiveness, to pursue justice, to embrace the outsider, to love our enemies, to pray. All of these things, they're markers of God's kingdom come upon the earth. See, the gathered church becomes the holy ground from which we live out the life of heaven here upon the earth. It's among these people, the people that you see around you today, it's among these people that you are called to practice your faith. That together we live out this microcosm of heaven here upon the earth. It's to these people to whom God has called you. He's inviting you to practice your faith. He's inviting you to practice your faith among these people, to embrace these people, to confess to these people, to forgive these people, to serve and love and encourage and pray for these people. If God is indeed bringing the life of heaven to bear upon the earth, wouldn't you expect to find that life being lived out among God's people? Yes. My friend Chris, in preparing for his baptism today, he said to me this. He said, "Keith, I feel a little unworthy to stand in front of a room full of saints and be baptized. I'm far from perfect." Oh, and I assured Chris that we are all far from perfect. And I reminded him of what Jesus said. The kingdom of God belongs to the poor in spirit, to the ones who know they don't measure up. And I looked at Chris and I said, "The kingdom of God belongs to you. You are put first in his kingdom." That's what heaven on earth looks like. The ones who feel like they are unworthy, they're given the seat of honor. The ones who feel like they don't belong, they are embraced into the center of God's family. And that is what is lived out every time the church gathers. We embody God's kingdom. We live out his way. Third, the gathered church is equipped. They are equipped for God's service when we gather. Paul says it in Ephesians 4. He says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." The church gathers to be equipped for serving the Lord, to learn God's word, to learn how to pray, but also to be encouraged, to be spurred on to love and good deeds, to be challenged and supported in our common walk of faith. The gathered church is the place to be equipped for following and serving Jesus in our everyday lives. And as I was preparing this morning, I was thinking of you Sunday school leaders in particular, and our youth leaders and our preteen leaders. I hope you realize the importance and the dignity of your work. You are members of Christ's body, participating in God's kingdom work to our kids. Thank you. There's a word that goes around the church that I really despise. It's the word volunteer. We don't read it in the scriptures when we talk about God's church. We are not volunteers who fill a space. We are members of God's body who are participating in his kingdom work. And it's a beautiful work, an important work. It's the work of his gathered church. Thank you. Every single one of us here today, we are all members of Christ's one body. And we are all called to participate in the lives of others so that we together may grow into the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The gathered church is equipped for God's service when we gather. And so when we gather for a Sunday service or a shared meal or a small group, or when we gather to pray, we're called together in Jesus' name to encounter him, to embody his kingdom, and to invest in others as we walk together into Christian maturity. But here's the thing. You know this is coming. What God gathers, he also scatters. The kingdom of God is always injected out into the world through the scattered church. Jesus said, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough." Take that picture of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is scattered throughout the world by the ambassadors of its king, you and me. The kingdom of God is scattered throughout the world by us. The moment we walk out of those doors, we become the scattered church. We don't simply go to our jobs or to our schools or to our families. We go to those places, but we go as God's people, anointed with his Spirit, commissioned by his very word to carry the life, love, and message of Jesus and his kingdom come. Yes, you go to work as a plumber or as a student or as a parent, but you go as a plumber for the Lord and a student for the Lord and a parent representing our Lord. Your work is important and lasting. It's important and lasting precisely because you do it for the Lord, injecting his kingdom life into the world through your attentiveness to his priorities and to the people he's called you to serve in your work and through your work. You've been given a vocation, each one of you. As followers of Jesus, your vocation is to manifest heaven's righteousness, peace, and joy through the power of the Holy Spirit in the unique circumstances of your daily living. It's your vocation as a scattered church. Scattered across this city as God's kingdom ambassadors. It's the way God's kingdom is injected into our world through the gathered church that scatters. Herein lies the whole of the Christian life. Gathered and scattered. Gathered then scattered. Gathered then scattered. The church gathered and scattered is how the Holy Spirit gives physical presence to the kingdom of God that Jesus announced and established upon the earth. We gather on Sunday. We scatter on Sunday afternoon. We gather midweek and we scatter midweek. And we gather again and we scatter again. I can't think of a greater vision to live into as the church. So, where is Jesus inviting you to take a step this morning? For some of you, Jesus is inviting you to take a step in. A step into the gathered community of faith. A step into fellowship. A step into a discipleship community. A step into service amongst his gathered church, a step into a regular rhythm of shared worship with others, or a step into the waters of baptism. Or for others of you today, Jesus is inviting you to take a step out, a step outward as the scattered community of faith, to take a risk, to share the gospel with a friend, to pray with a colleague, to reach out to a neighbor in need, to take a step out of your comforts and explore what being Christ's ambassador uniquely looks like in the circumstances of your life, in your places of work, in your school, in your family, on your sports team. Friends, this is my unwavering vision for our church. It always has been. It always will be. Gathered in the name of Jesus to encounter his presence, to embody his kingdom life in our common life together, and to be equipped as his people, but then to be scattered across our city, in every inch of our city, injecting into it the life and love of heaven, all for Jesus' glory. Which brings me back to the story of the disappearing church in Russia. An established church on the edge of town that seemingly disappeared. A church that once gathered, but now brick by brick has made its way into the structures of the surrounding city. A brick in a building there, and a brick in a wall here. Is this a sign of the times? The church is an outdated relic, a dying institution? Not a chance. Rather, it is a vision of the church that once gathered, but is now scattered across the city. Every brick, a living stone of Jesus, building something beautiful in the city for his kingdom and his glory. That is us, church. Gathered and scattered. Building something new for the glory of God. May it be so among us. Let's pray. Jesus, when you speak, you build your house. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray this week, I've taken 30 minutes to try and give my voice to what you speak. 30 minutes is nothing. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would continue to speak to your people as we scatter across this city. And that you would be calling them into gathered places of fellowship in your name, and that you would be scattering us out into places that need to know your name. Jesus, this isn't a work that we do on our own. It's not something that we can muster up the energy or the courage or the imagination for. It's something that your Spirit grows in us and empowers in us. So, Holy Spirit, as we respond, as we turn our hearts to you in worship, we pray that you'd continue to speak, that you'd continue to build your house, that you would continue to bless this city through us, your ambassadors.